We're so used to seeing kings and queens, presidents and prime ministers surrounded by pomp, circumstance and majesty. They walk on fine carpets. They're often draped in ermine or national flags with marching bands choreographing their every move. Good Friday shows us that the King of Kings received a far different kind of reception. Instead of strutting about in glory and majesty, we see Jesus wrestling in the garden with all that is to come. Instead of subjects kissing his hand, pledging their undying loyalty, we see him kissed on the cheek by the one who brings troops for his arrest. Instead of receiving adulation from leaders, his opponents put him on trial. And even though the evidence was poor and contradictory, they condemn God's Son for blasphemy. His friends denied knowing him. When the heat was on, they hid. Those with real authority, like the governor Pilate, handed him over because it was easy and expeditious. Rather than being lavished in fine clothes, crowned with gold and draped in purple, Jesus was whipped, crowned with thorns, and mocked as a charlatan. He is forced to carry a cruel instrument of torture and humiliation, and when he falls and fails, a bystander is pressed in to help this human wreck. He was not enthroned on the stone of destiny. His royal seat was a cross. Stripped naked, he hangs with a bandit on his left and a bandit on his right. One reviles him as a failure while the other asks for mercy. And Jesus dies, humiliated, alone, broken. Christ was broken in body. His body was broken for a world that is filled with violence and injustice, where the price of greed and stupidity is paid for by the poor in their bodies. Christ was broken in heart. He was forsaken by his friends and even God the Father, who was his ever-present companion, looked the other way. Christ was broken in soul. The leaders of Israel called the Prince of Peace the enemy of God. They mocked his purpose. They let a violent rebel leader go free instead. All the systems of law, justice, power, and might are used against him. Save yourself is not just a call of derision. It is a pointer to the reality and finality of failure. Yet Jesus would not save himself. Time and time again, when opportunities emerged to evade this outcome, he never took them. So rather than linger with his friends after a cozy meal, Jesus decided to go into that garden. When the troops came looking for a fight, he chose not to resist. When those around him spoke lies and twisted everything he had to say, Jesus remained silent. Rather than plead for his life, he spoke about coming in glory. He took the beating standing up. Rather than running away, he carried the cross. The crucifixion was not a sign that Jesus' mission to save the world had failed. Jesus did not hang on the cross because he could not escape. Rather, he bore the injustice, the pain, the humiliation, because he needed to see God's work through to the very end. although his soul, his heart, his body was broken, Jesus' spirit remained untarnished, strong enough to trust that God's way was the best way to deal with a world that was lost in violence, hate, and expediency. He remained strong enough to offer forgiveness to all who were too blind, short-sighted, distracted, preoccupied, or prejudiced to see. Good Friday is the day when the goodness of God can be seen through the ashes of humanity. The forgiveness that Jesus offered was not offered to those who were just a little bit neglectful, mean, or thoughtless. The forgiveness he offers is given to the living so that they might see and work and live differently in the world. For who else can reach a betrayer than someone forgiven for turning on their friends? Who else can reach those who run away than someone who pretended not to know him? Who else could reach religious leaders convinced of their own rightness than someone who sat with them that night? Who else could reach soldiers hardened by violence but the centurion who led the execution squad? Forgiveness is the only thing that can bring new life from all of our betrayals, lies, crooked decisions, not to mention all the hurt and cruelty we inflict thoughtlessly upon others. Good Friday opens the way to a new life, to all who recognize themselves within this drama, not as innocent bystanders, but as people who stood in that garden, who stand in that temple, in that palace, in that place of execution, spitting words of derision, holding the hammer, wielding the spear. Forgiveness is open to all who acknowledge their part in a world gone wrong and who turn to Christ because they long for a different future and fresh possibilities. The journey of Good Friday starts at the tomb. So use this day, not merely to ponder the brokenness of the world, but your own brokenness, incompleteness, and selfishness. See this day as one that not only challenges the world about who is the true ruler, but to consider who is it that you follow. May the God who knows brokenness and suffering sit with you in the ashes of your suffering and brokenness. May the one who knew abandonment stand by your side when nobody else will. May the one who knew violence keep you safe and secure. May the one who knew the reality and finality of death set you free to live, to love, to start afresh on this very Good Friday. As we come to conclude our service, let me finish with this prayer. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross and our willingness to take up our cross and follow him, we may share in his rising to new life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.